Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What is up, bros? I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we are a couple of, we're a couple of bros. I forgot.
You're pulling a me.
No, completely spaced. We're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we have very, very little... I don't even think we made a weekly watch slide for it because Rose has one item that he wanted to talk about. So we'll jump into doing a few rounds of Connect the Stars, one of our new favorite games. Total side note, I was talking with DJ this week and was telling him we should try to introduce like other movie based games, like not just Connect the Stars. So like, I don't know, like figure out like how to do like the blockbuster game.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. We just need to figure out how to like logistically do that. But any other like movie based game would be like super fun to do.
Yeah, it would.
At least when it comes to like, this segment
because I know because like when I think like the only other like movie based trivia game that I can think of is a Newbie, is that what it was? I think that's what it's called.
Oh, the one that they do at the beginning of Cinemark.
Yeah
those are really dumb.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't even actually played it. I freaking downloaded it like months ago because I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to finally download that. I always see that commercial all the time. I'm going to finally download it. I have not opened it since I downloaded that app.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I downloaded it once and it was just, I tried to open up one of the games and it was just add. And then it was like, all right, here, like play this round. And I tried to play it. And as soon as I like submitted, it was another freaking ad. And then it like showed me whether I got it right or wrong. And I was like, are you serious? This is bullshit.
All right. Well, I will be deleting that now.
Yeah. So we'll find some non-ad. I think with Blockbuster Game, because how do you play Blockbuster Game?
Well, you do that. I'm gonna freaking delete this app right now.
Okay. All right. There's like rules and everything. So you count down from three, flip over a top card from the head to head deck. Printed on this card will be a category. The category details the type of movie that the two players competing will have to come up with. The first player to think of a movie that matches the revealed category shouts out its title and presses a buzzer. This starts a 15-second timer. The other player then has 15 seconds to come up with another movie that fits the category. They will have to shout out their movie title, hit the buzzer before time runs out. The players will keep taking turns, lifting up movie titles that fit the category until one of the players is unable to come up with the one before the timer goes off. The last player to name a movie title wins the head-to-head phase. Okay, so that seems easy.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Okay, so they have different... Wait, from the movie deck, they will choose three cards to keep the other three cards. Okay, that might be something that we could do. Like, if we could find a way to do, like, random movie title, but then we just need a way to do, like, a buzzer.
Okay.
Or maybe, like, let's see, 15-second timer button. All right, let's see. So if we do set, start. Okay, I mean, there's, like, a stopwatch that we could do.
Okay.
Let's see. Then let's see, a random movie generator. Oh, nope. Okay, let's see. Yeah, a workspace for keeping tracks of. Okay, how am I supposed to freaking choose? That's dumb. All right, let's see. That's not. All right, here's an AI one or a different AI one. They have like random games. Let's see. Blockbuster interactive game template. It's like a PowerPoint. A random movie generator. Randomize. None of these like have exactly what we're looking for.
Lame.
Yeah, maybe we just need to buy the freaking Blockbuster game, because I mean, we can get the timer.
Yeah,
or like the timer is not a hard thing to do. Like, we could easily do that just on the freaking thing here.
True.
So the timer's not a problem. It's finding a generator to give us like a prompt to like think of a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that we've wasted some time doing that, let's say we get into the episode.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Hey, this is Mikey T.
And the Grant.
And Billiam.
And we are the Failing Hollywood Podcast. Yeah, we're a show that is real film crew with real cast that talks about real set stuff.
Like what it's like to work 70 hours in 1 week, overnights only.
And what it's like to bring coffee to actors.
And what it's like to sit in a bathtub with a toaster nearby and be like, maybe I'll just end it all.
What it's like to make love on a fake New York set when you're sitting in L.A. but wishing you were in Chicago.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Max Performance Peptides.
Save 10% on your first order using the code ALLBROS.
It helps support the show and helps support our friends, so go give their site a look at maxperformancepeptides.com.
Or check them out at maxperformance4u on Instagram. Links to everything can be found in our bio.
All right, kicking things off, let's knock out our first little bit. We're going to need to come up with a new name for this segment, because if we're not always playing Connect the Stars.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I mean, it could be like Game Time, or I don't know, something like that, or just like movie trivia. Or it's not really trivia, is it?
Yeah, I guess not.
I don't know. We'll figure that one out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we are going to kick things off by playing our new favorite game, Connect the Stars, brought to us by Eric Bai and Amanda Hum. The only rule, or so for those of you that don't know, Connect the Stars is it randomly generates two different celebrities, and we have to find some way to connect those two through either a movie or a series of movies slash other actors. We just have to find a way to connect the two. The only rule that we have is everything that we do is by memory. So even if we do know the movie or the name, or if we do know the actor, if we don't know their name, then we're kind of shit out of luck.
Yep.
Freaking last week, Eddie Murphy and who are you trying to connect Eddie Murphy to? Do you remember?
Oh, was it Steve Zahn?
No, not Steve Zahn. Hold on, let me check my message. So DJ hit me up. Let's see. Oh, Eddie Murphy to Chris Evans.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So he said, that the connection, the Elliot Page to Tessa Thompson,
yeah,
would have been Juno, or so Elliot Page, Juno would have given us Michael Cera, and then Scott Pilgrim gives us Chris Evans in Endgame, gives us Tessa Thompson.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, and then then Eddie Murphy to Chris Evans.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Nutty Professor gives us Dave Chappelle, and then Dave Chappelle in A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper to Endgame again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I told him, I'm like, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to him. I had never seen Nutty Professor.
Really? You haven't?
I have not.
It's a good one. I recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it's pretty good. Most Eddie Murphy movies are good. I just haven't like gotten a chance to like watch a lot of them, other than like Dr. Doolittle, and some of his newer stuff. Shrek, obviously.
Have you seen Norbit?
Not all the way through.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's kick things off. So the first star. The other rule. We can veto them if neither of us know the actor well enough to do anything with them. All right. So first up, we got Anna Kendrick.
Okay.
Which I think both of us could easily do.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second one we got is Idris Elba. Ooh.
I think we can make that work.
I think we could definitely make that work.
I already know one. Easy.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so Anna Kendrick was in Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
Which had Rebel Wilson.
Okay.
And Rebel Wilson was in Cats with Idris Elba.
Damn, dude. That's pretty good. I don't know if I could do it shorter. I genuinely don't think that I could. Like I couldn't even think of, let's see, Anna Kendrick. Yeah, I don't think I could do it. Damn, dude, that was good. Also, completely forgot that Idris Elba was in Cats.
I'm sure he wants people to forget that he was in Cats.
Damn, that was really freaking good. That was probably the quickest round like ever.
Yeah.
I'm also trying to I don't think he did. I was going to say, I don't think, like, I was somehow thinking, like, maybe Idris Elba did a voice in Trolls, but I don't think that's true. I don't know why I would think that. All right, round two. Tom Hanks.
Okay.
And Sigourney Weaver.
Ooh, okay. So Sigourney Weaver, all I can think for her is Ghostbusters and Aliens. I think we can make that work.
Yeah, probably.
Trying to think of like anybody from Ghostbusters that has been in a movie with Tom Hanks.
Yeah. We could also take Finding Dory.
Oh yeah, Sigourney Weaver was the announcer, right?
Yeah, she voiced herself.
Yeah.
So that could give what's his name? The guy from Modern Family. Oh, but that wouldn't be super good to do because I've only seen him in shows. Okay, so never mind. So working through Aliens. Ooh. The first one that comes to mind would be Bill Murray, like because Bill Murray's done nothing. Oh, you got it? You got
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear
okay,
it.
Okay, so Annie Pot, not, sorry. Sigourney Weaver was in Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Ghostbusters had Annie Potts.
Okay.
And Annie Potts was in Toy Story with Tom Hanks.
As who?
As Bo Peep.
What the shit?
Huh.
Bro, you are on one today. Holy shit. Damn, that was good. Yeah, I could probably do it if I went like a million different directions. Damn. Okay.
I like how they freaking do Ghostbusters Answer the Call and not the original Ghostbusters.
It connected both of them.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it did both.
Like, I...
It's funny like that I they said, were both in. They were
yeah.
Both. All right, next up we got Keira Knightley.
Okay.
That should be easy enough. And Cillian Murphy.
Oh, I know Cillian Murphy from his Oppenheimer. Can you think of anything else he's in?
Yeah, he was Scarecrow in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in Inception. I think we could work with that.
Okay.
So Keira Knightley, we could easily do the pirates. So if that gives us Johnny Depp or Orlando Bloom. I'm trying to think Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer had a lot of people like that could give us Robert Downey.
Oh yeah. Like I would say like, oh, maybe we can connect Christian Bale with them, but I don't really know a lot of other movies with Christian Bale.
Well, Christian Bale, we could probably do like Prestige. That would give us Hugh Jackman and there's someone else in that. Oh, Scarlett Johansson's in that.
Okay.
Let's see. Keira Knightley. Keira Knightley's going to be the tough one.
Yeah.
What's the name of the dude?
Excuse me.
She was in Pride and Prejudice. And I forget who her, like, Mr. Darcy is. Like, I always forget the dude's name. He's in Mamma Mia.
Is it Colin Firth?
Yeah, Colin Firth. So, I mean, we can get Colin Firth. Colin Firth could give us anyone from Kingsman. So let me just like throw that one in real quick. So Pride and Prejudice, Colin Firth. Ah, he's not in that one.
Oh, he's not? Oh.
Shit.
Damn.
That's not Alan Rickman, is it? Nope. I don't know who that is. Okay, so never mind. So Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp was in freaking countless things. Shit, there was a movie that he was in where he played like this super weird like French dude, and it's like I didn't even recognize that it was him.
Ooh, I know what movie you're talking about.
What
I just can't remember the name.
Shit. Who else is in it like that you know of?
Oh fuck, dude, I don't know.
Because he was like a detective. But he was like French. Wait.
Has Johnny Depp been in any movies with Amy Adams?
With Amy Adams? Not that I can think of. Was he? Yeah. Wait, was he in Kingsman?
I don't think so. Because, so if we're connecting Cillian Murphy to Christian Bale, that gives us anybody in American, I think it's American Hustle. So that gives us Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, and
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
Now, have either of those three worked with Johnny Depp?
All right.
They have to have, right?
American At least one Hustle. Of them. Oh, wait, what? Oh, so The Dark Knight gives us Christian Bale. Who was in American Hustle? Bradley Cooper and Johnny Depp have to have been in something, right?
Yeah, they had to have been.
Oh, wait, that doesn't do us any good. My dumbass was just trying to connect. I was connecting someone else. The Bill Nighy or Nighy or whatever his name is. But that's just the guy who played Davy Jones.
Oh.
And that doesn't do us any good. Wait. Did Amy Adams do a voice in Rango?
No, that was Isla Fisher.
Damn.
I know.
Oh, I swear Isla Fisher's done something with Cillian Murphy, though. Who else is in Rango that you can think of?
Oh, dude, those are the only two that I can think of.
Shit. Matt Damon done anything with Johnny Depp?
I don't think so.
What about Hugh Jackman?
Nothing's coming to mind.
Scarlett Johansson, maybe?
Shit, no, I can't think of anything.
Ooh, has Johnny Depp worked with Mel Gibson?
I can't think of anything that they've been in together.
Shit, this is hard. Trying to think of other, like, Keira Knightley work. I kind of know a back alley way that we could go around it.
Let's hear it, because I think we're stumped, man.
Okay, so Orlando Bloom was in, what was that PlayStation movie?
Gran Turismo?
Yeah, Gran Turismo with David Harbour, who was in Black Widow with Scarlett Johansson, and yep, who was in The Prestige. That is a crazy back alleyway of going around it.
I mean, hey, it worked, man. It got us there. Good job.
All right. Yeah, so for those of you that were trying to keep up, Keira Knightley was in Pirates of the Caribbean with Orlando Bloom, who was in Gran Turismo with David Harbour, who was in Black Widow with Scarlett Johansson, who was in The Prestige with Christian Bale, who was in The Dark Knight with Cillian Murphy.
Bam. There we go.
All right. Let's see what, because I know we could have done this easier. I swear to everything holy, if Cillian Murphy was in this movie, I'm going to lose my freaking shit. Okay, doesn't look like he was.
Okay.
I looked up Love Actually.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so Love Actually could have given us Colin Firth, could have given us Liam Neeson, Hugh Grant, freaking Martin Freeman. Like, it could have given us so
many people. Shit.
Hell, it could have given us Billy Bob Thornton.
Damn. Well,
yeah, hey. So that's just Love Actually. So let's see what else. Oh my gosh, we freaking forgot Star Wars.
Oh, son of a bitch. How the fuck did we forget Star Wars?
Yeah, I know. Let's look up her IMDb. Let's see. Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean, Imitation Game, which could have given us Benedict Cumberbatch, which I feel like he's worked with Cillian Murphy before.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, Love Actually, Star Wars Episode 1. All right, now let's check Cillian Murphy, because he's been on a lot of shit that we forgot.
Yeah.
So Oppenheimer, Dunkirk.
Oh,
Dunkirk could have given us Tom Hardy to connect.
Wasn't he? Sorry.
Huh?
What, wasn't Cillian Murphy in one of the 28 movies?
28 movies?
Yeah, like 28 weeks later, 28 years later.
28 days later, yeah.
Okay, all right, that's the one.
Why, who's in that?
No one, just I thought that he was in one of those, and I just wanted to confirm it. Ow, shit, sorry.
Oh, what? He was in Tron Legacy.
What?
Yeah, uncredited.
I was going to say, I don't remember. Man, I got to watch that movie now again.
Nothing else that like oh yeah, damn. So there's a movie called Transcendence, which stars Johnny Depp.
Son of a bitch.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh well, those long ones are fun too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's say with that one we get into our breakdown.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. All righty, getting into this week's breakdown. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, And then we give our own personal score at the very end. All of these numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. Have we talked about altering character development for comedies?
I don't know if we have.
Yeah, because I know we did that with like horror.
Yeah.
And then which one did we do recently where we did this kind of the same thing?
Oh, fuh.
Like, I know it was one of our, like, recent ones.
Yeah.
Was it Megan?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it was Megan 2.0.
Yeah?
So, like, with comedies changing it from character development, what would you change it to? Like, how the jokes landed, or?
That one's tough, because it's, like, that's all in writing.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Like how a joke lands and everything. Like that's, it's a mixture. Comedy is a mixture between the writing and the acting. Cause one, it needs to be a well-written joke. And then two, it needs to be well delivered.
True.
So as long as like the writing and the acting are good, but when it comes to like character development, now we're getting into like some intricacies of film.
Yeah.
Cause when it comes to comedy, the story needs to be good. Like just talking through like our categories, the story needs to be good. Like it needs to be interesting enough to get us through the movie. The writing is all about like just the comedic dialogue. Then the acting, it just covers how those jokes were delivered, how well those jokes were delivered. I'll be real. I don't know if there's if character development, like I can't think of another thing that covers that. So we could just not do the character development.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't think we should,
my only problem with that it's like what would we replace it with? Because I mean, logic doesn't make sense. It's a comedy.
Yeah,
like it's one of those like crazy like outlandish comedies too. Because I think there are some comedies that you can have that make sense, like for there to be some sort of character development.
Yeah,
like I'm thinking of like a movie like Good Boys.
Yeah,
like that has some character growth in it, but this very, it doesn't.
Yeah, like I would compare this movie to like freaking Dumb and Dumber. Like you don't get any character development in that movie whatsoever. Yeah.
And with a movie like this, you don't need it.
No,
this is like okay, I think I got it. This is a slapstick humor. Like maybe we could just talk like about like. That's so tough.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking like how with horror, it's like they set up like with horror, they set up rules for the movie to abide by.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's why we talk about the logic. Like, does this make sense within the universe that they created? But I was thinking like, could it be just the like same deal with like the slapstick, but like that's still like writing and
yeah.
That's yeah. True. So maybe for something like this, where it's more like a slapstick comedy, we don't do character development.
Okay.
Like we just make that like an NA.
All right.
Like not applicable.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Yeah, and then effects that can just cover all, like that can cover like the more physical comedy like aspects. Music's fine, costumes fine, and then yeah, personal score. So yeah, when it comes to comedy, yeah, we'll just make it an NA situation. Yeah. So in this situation, we're gonna make this a 7 category breakdown.
All right,
like removing one for it being like a slapstick comedy where no character growth or logic is to be followed.
Yeah.
Now that'd be dumb. I was thinking like, what if we did it where it's just like, where it is logic, but instead of it being like, did they follow the logic? It's like, did they not follow the logic? But that'd be stupid. But yeah. So anyway, so we'll be breaking down story, writing, acting, effects, music, costumes, and then give it our own personal score. Giving you guys a little behind the scenes here for a hot second. But yeah. But yeah, so if you have not seen 2025's The Naked Gun, Rose is about to spoil the entire movie for you in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
Right. Lieutenant Frank Drebin Jr. of the LAPD police squad single-handedly dispatches a gang of bank robbers while disguised as a schoolgirl. Unbeknownst to him, this was a distraction to steal a gadget called the PLOT, Primordial Law of Toughness Device. I fucking died when I saw that written.
Plot device.
That was so funny.
That set the tone for the movie so well.
Right? I'm just like, all right, right, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I knew immediately what the rest of the movie was going to be. Didn't know where it was going to go, but I knew what it was going to be.
Yeah. So they steal the gadget called the plot device from a safe deposit box. Police Chief Davis reassigns Drebin when his over-the-top law enforcement becomes a legal liability. While paying tribute to his father, Frank Drebin Sr., he prays to him to send him an owl as a sign of his approval. Drebin, as it's going down the line, and then it gets to the part, the son of
OJ's character.
Yeah, OJ's character, and the guy just like looks at the camera and just like shakes his head. You couldn't have done it better. That was just perfect. That was amazing.
Flawless.
Oh, shit. All right. Drebin investigates software engineer Simon Davenport's fatal car crash, deeming it suicide, but notices a matchbook at the scene. Simon's sister, Beth, a crime novelist, argues otherwise, but Drebin discourages her from investigating further. Drebin finds Richard Kane, Simon's wealthy employer, at Eden Tech, at the company's tech expo. After they mutually appreciate the Black Eyed Peas, Kane donates a self-driving electric car to police squad, which wreaks havoc with Drebin behind the wheel, and invites Drebin to his personal nightclub. Drebin notices the matchbook found at Simon's crash site has the same logo as the nightclub. Kane privately demonstrates how he will use the stolen plot device to revert humans to their primitive nature, culling the population for his fellow billionaires who will be safely insulated in a bunker. Drebin, while interrogating one of the bank robbers, learns about the deposit box, which was Simon's, connecting the two cases. At Kane's club, Beth distracts Kane with improvised scat singing while Drebin fights many goons to access security footage, discovering that Simon met discreetly with a journalist. Davis suspends Drebin after Kane reveals Drebin's activities. Beth stays with the demoralized Drebin, and he finally considers moving on from memories of his late wife. Drebin and Beth spend a romantic weekend at an Alpine lodge, where they have a threesome with a magical snowman, but the snowman turns violent after they neglect it, forcing Beth to kill it.
Dude, that whole scene was friggin' perfection.
That was freaking when Drebin just pulls out the friggin' the syrup, like puts it on his fucking hand and starts eating it. Oh, it was great. Drebin finds the journalist murdered and is easily tricked into incriminating himself. He flees in the electric car, but Kane overrides the controls and attempts to kill Drebin just as he did to Simon. Drebin blows out the windshield, but is trapped again by the car driving head-on into balloons, bees, and a replacement windshield. That was great.
Dude, I lost it. Like, that was one scene that was just so freaking hilarious. Like, it was freaking perfect.
So good.
Like he's like, oh my gosh, I can't even, like, I'm so excited I can't like form words.
He accidentally activates Clippy, who helpfully unlocks the doors. Meanwhile, police squad has been decommissioned and fucking turned into a spirit Halloween. That was I know that was spoiled in the trailers, but that was so funny.
That was so good, dude.
Beth reveals that Simon feared the misuse of the plot device, but Devin suspects that Beth is using him and angrily leaves her home. Drebin captures Kane's henchman, Gustafsson, and frightens him into confessing to Kane's plan to activate the plot device at the New Year's ball drop at a mixed martial arts match. Drebin heads to the match at the PonziScheme.com arena, equipped with an earpiece that blocks the plot device's influence. Beth plans to kill Kane, but he sees this coming as telegraphed in her book. Drebin finds the plot device inside the New York in the New Year's balls. He loses his pants as the balls drop, incidentally exposing himself to the entire audience, leading them to not respect his order to evacuate. The plot device activates and mindless violence erupts throughout the city. Drebin fights through innocence by ricocheting ejected handgun magazines, but cannot catch up with the escaping Kane. His father's spirit arrives as an owl, airlifting Drebin and blinding Kane with its excrement. Nice shot, Daddy. Oh
my gosh.
So funny.
Dude, I remember with that, like watching that scene, I was laughing because of like the owl showed up and everything. And I remember like sitting there and I swear to God, if he's sitting there and flies on the goddamn owl, and when it showed that that's exactly what happened, I lost it. I was like, this movie is perfection.
Dude, the fact that like they hand him a coffee midair, that was,
oh my gosh,
that running joke, that was so funny. Oh man.
Oh, my favorite, dude.
Let's see. Yeah. Kane folds in agony after one punch to the gut. Beth nearly shoots Kane in revenge, but Drebin talks her down. Drebin and Beth use the plot device to calm the crowd and embrace lovingly as Kane is arrested. In the aftermath, Drebin faces investigation by Eternal Affairs, actually the name of a tropical resort, where he spends his time with Beth. In a post-credit scene, Weird Al Yankovic attempts to perform a show in Kane's bunker, only to find it's completely empty and gets frustrated and confused in the process. Oh, man.
I'll be real. It took me a second to remember why Weird Al was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, when that scene came up, I was just like, this is kind of an odd end credit. And then I clicked. I was like, oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This movie was so good, dude.
It was really, really fun.
This, I was so happy to see that Seth MacFarlane was one of the producers of this movie.
Same here.
Because like, I know that him and Liam Neeson have a pretty decent relationship. And Liam Neeson is secretly the funniest person on the planet.
Dude, guy is a gem when it comes to being able to do straight face comedy. Like, oh my gosh.
Oh, that, like, I from the freaking get-go, dude, I was like, ah, because I've seen like Liam Neeson in comedies before, and I've seen him do some ridiculous things.
Yeah,
like in like with the 1 Million Ways to Die in the West. Like, he did a lot of ridiculous things in that movie, but he wasn't like a main staple of that film. So I was just like, okay, maybe like more like he's funny in like small bits. So when it was announced that he was going to be carrying a whole comedy himself, I was like, oh man, like, is he going to be able to pull off like every joke that, cause I knew like Naked Gun's one of those just like over the top ridiculous movies. And I was worried. I'm like, is he going to be able to pull all of those jokes off? And he did with flying colors.
Yep.
And it was perfect. And like, just talking about the story, it is, we've seen it before.
Yeah. It's very cookie cutter.
Yeah. It's Kingsman. It's exactly what Kingsman was.
But I don't know, for bringing the Naked Gun franchise back, I think this was probably the right way to go. You want something familiar, and you just want something familiar with audiences, and then you can kind of just keep their attention with all of the jokes and gags that you're throwing their way.
Yeah, it definitely felt original. Like as a whole, like, but when you break down what the story was, it is literally just Kingsman.
Yeah.
But a lot funnier than Kingsman.
Yeah.
I would almost dare say it's the same level of over the top, but in a different way.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
like where Kingsman is more over the top action, this is just more over the top comedy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like in terms of like originality points, I'm not that high.
That's fair.
Story wise, I might be at like a 77. Like, but I did think that it had a pretty good flow. The jokes were good, but I wasn't, after a certain point, I wasn't watching for the story.
Yeah, that's, yeah, same here. Yeah, I was kind of just waiting for the next joke, honestly.
Yeah, like that's more or less it. And this did a really good job at making me want to watch the other Naked Gun movies.
Same here, especially, so just get this out of the way. I'm just one point lower than you at a 76. But considering what I've seen of, is it Leslie Jones that was the original?
I think so, yeah.
Because I've seen him in like Scary Movie 3 and how he was in that and just how freaking funny he was in that. I can't imagine how even more funny he is in those three Naked Gun movies that he did when he's the one that is literally carrying the whole movie.
Yeah. It took me a second, like, because I've seen clips and stuff and I'm like, I swear, like that dude looks familiar. And he was, I remembered him from, is it the superhero movie? The one with like Drake Bell,
yeah,
the dragonfly dude, like another one of those like super over the top like comedies.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's just basically parroting every superhero film there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, that's what I recognized him from.
So it's Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, Nielsen. Who's Leslie Jones?
Leslie Jones is, she played Patty in Ghostbusters Answer the Call. Oops. My bad.
Wrong. Come, honestly, we couldn't have been more wrong.
No, we couldn't have. Whoopsie.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Oh man.
But yeah. Yeah. Very average story, but it's fine because you don't watch this movie for the freaking story.
No, you don't. But like I do appreciate this movie for the fact that like it definitely got me interested in watching the originals because I want to see how, you know, Frank Jr.'s dad was Leslie Nielsen, and I also want to see how I forget his name, but Paul Walter Hauser, how his character's dad was in the original. So definitely did a job, got me interested in checking out the originals.
Yeah, it definitely did that. Apparently like there is a scene in like one of the movies where Frank Jr. is born.
Oh really?
Yeah, and I think he's like, or you like you meet him and he like looks exactly like Leslie Nielsen, like with the white hair and everything. And so like someone posted that, they're just like, hey, just so everyone knows, this guy, and like picture of Liam Neeson, is supposed to be playing this kid, and it shows like the tiny
oh
like baby like Frank Nielsen or Leslie Nielsen. Moving on over to writing.
Ooh, this movie had some good ass jokes,
bro. The oh my gosh, I saw it one of the jokes was spoiled for me, and I wasn't even like that mad about it. It was the one where she was talking about his wife, and she's like, oh, how'd she pass? And he's just like, oh my gosh, arm like a cannon. And it's one of those movies that's so quick with like, it's, I think there's a lot of rewatchability factor with this movie.
100%. It's just,
the joke, they get you laughing, and then it's just like, oh shit, I laughed over a different joke.
Yeah.
Because I almost missed, like, because of how bad I was laughing over the just the arm like a cannon. And then I missed the part where Pamela Anderson's character said, oh, she sounds like a saint. And he's like, honestly, we've been happy with any of the teams other than the Browns.
Oh, man.
But quick wit like that was just freaking amazing.
One of my favorite running gags was, well, I guess not running gag, but like it just kept like building and building, was when they set up that like fake hospital scene for the henchmen. And, you know, Liam Neeson calls, did we get all that? All the things go up and he talks to Liza Koshy's character and he like admits to like what he has done that he's not supposed to as a cop and all this shit. And she just goes, did we get all that? And freaking her set goes up and then freaking he gets her for, was it like hiring people without a permit or some shit like that? And then that,
yeah,
that gets her arrested.
Dude.
So freaking funny.
That one was really good. Oh gosh. I love when Pamela's character gets introduced and she's like, he's like, would you like to take a seat? And she's like, no, I have plenty at home. It, like, that one is one that went over my head. And then I, like, in the middle of their conversation, I started laughing at. And I started laughing. And then when she left and she's like, actually, I will take that seat. And it just drags a chair out of the office.
Oh, shit.
And then I freaking loved when he, like, was basically like watching her leave and like having the narration, and then Paul Walter Hauser's character was doing the same thing, the freaking like doing a narration, and he's like, oh, do you mind? And then it like cuts to all the other people and you hear all their internal dialogue too, like,
dude, freaking same scene. I forget what Liam and Paul were talking about, but freaking in the background the cold case files is actually in like a fucking freezer. Did you catch that?
No.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, the background, like up above it, it says cold case files, and you see a guy walking into a fucking freezer.
Oh my gosh.
It was either a freezer or a cooler. I can't remember, but I'm just like, it was so freaking funny.
Oh my gosh, dude. There were so many jokes like that. Like, it was insane. And this was like perfectly within like my stupid comedy wheelhouse, because I love dad jokes like you wouldn't believe. And so yeah, this being full of them was just amazing. One of my favorite gags in this was when they were in Frank's apartment, and the freaking like henchman goon guy pulls out the thermal scope and then starts seeing like everything that was happening, like basically like a crazy misunderstanding where it looked like a bunch of devious things were happening. That shit got wild and they took that so freaking far.
Dude, they did. One of the biggest ways I judge a comedy is if there's at least one joke that I am literally crying because of, I'm laughing so hard. And that was the joke that got me for that. Yeah. I was crying.
Oh my gosh, dude. I was laughing so hard when it was just the two of them. When they brought the dog in, I was over. Like, I was losing it.
Oh man.
And
dude, forget, like, even before that, when they're doing that like all like dirty bird talk, and then freaking the next scene is Pamela Anderson's character cleaning his oven, and she's like, wow, you were not kidding, this was really filthy. I probably shouldn't be doing that hand motion. Oh, but
gosh, dude, this movie was so well written, so smartly written.
Seriously,
this is one I'm probably sitting at like 95 with the writing. I think this is damn near flawless. Like, the dialogue here is so funny. The only stuff that I didn't really care for was the bad guy. I thought his dialogue was a little like bland, but it's such a minor gripe.
Yeah. Speaking of, we'll get to him with like, you know, acting, but like, for what is up with him like playing a bad guy in like every movie I've seen him in?
Dude, for real.
Because he was a bad guy in The Crow.
I know. Dude, Brielle, she watched a little bit of it with me. She actually ended up watching like half the movie before she decided to go in for bed. She was only going to sit there and like watch a few minutes, but then she just like got like encapsulated. But she said the exact same thing. She's like, what is it with this dude always playing a bad guy?
I mean, he does a good job. So
he does. He does a fantastic job.
But I'm just 1 point lower at you at 94, but agree with everything you said. Like the writing in this, the jokes, like the jokes in a comedy make or break the movie, and they freaking knocked it out of the park with these.
Oh yeah. All right, moving on over to acting. First up, we got Liam Neeson, who plays Frank Drebin Jr. Then we got Pamela Anderson, who plays Beth Davenport. We got Paul Walter Hauser, that plays Ed Hawken Jr. Got Danny Huston, who plays Richard Kane. Is that her name?
Yep.
CCH?
Yeah, that's her name.
Okay. Yeah, CCH Pounder, who plays Chief Davis. Kevin Durand, who plays Sig Gustafson. Then Liza Koshy plays Detective Barnes. And that's it. I think we can both agree. Number one slot, Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
He was flawless in this movie.
He was a gem. Absolute gem. Like, I know he's getting up there in age, but like, I wish he did more comedies in his career, honestly, because the guy has the act for it.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, the first thing that I remember seeing him in that was like, that was funny was, I think it was Ted.
Yeah, Ted 2 with the grocery store when he comes by, what is it? Trix.
Yeah. He's like, I love that joke so much, dude. And the way that he comes in just beating his shit, it made it even funnier.
Yeah, dude. So funny.
Like, he plays such good, like, deadpan humor.
He does. Like, oh my God. Yeah, like, this is the best I've seen from an actor when it comes to deadpan comedy. Like, this guy should be the standard of what people that want to do that follow.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'll say this. I prefer his comedies way more than I like his some of his action roles.
Oh, dude, same here. Like, this movie is absolutely my favorite movie he's been in. Like, I've seen, I think I've seen Taken 1 and 2. I don't think I saw the third one. I enjoyed the first one. Second one was okay. Like, he was really good in them. But just kind of just not my thing. But yeah, him in this, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking real quick just to see what else he was in, just to see if there's anything else that was like a staple of, like, Lego Movie. He did a voice.
Then he was Good Cop, Bad Cop.
He was in Ted 2. He did Anchorman, but he was in Battleship. His A-Team role was pretty good. Like, I liked his role in A-Team.
Okay.
Almost forgot he did Aslan in the Narnia movies.
Oh yeah, dude, he was so good in those. His voice is so captivating.
Oh, 100%, dude. Yeah, then obviously he played Qui-Gon in Star Wars. That rom-com he's in, Love Actually, that's pretty good.
I swear I've seen that before. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I feel like you'd remember that one. And yeah, all the other ones are just like other like weird movies or just like very action heavy.
Gotcha.
So he's done quite like a bit of comedy. Like he mixes it in.
Yeah.
Like he was in Daddy's Home 2.
He was?
I guess.
Oh, did not know that.
Yeah. Then, like we said, Ted 2, Anchorman 2, Million Ways to Die in the West, Lego Movie. I'm just listing off the comedies. Honestly, that might be it.
Still pretty good, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like he got into doing comedies for a while.
Okay. It was all just action before. Yeah.
Like, as far as I can tell, it seems like the first thing that he did was, well, is a romantic comedy. So I Love Actually.
Okay.
But I mean, he looks like he's done a few other, like, okay, that's not necessarily true. That one's a Steve Martin movie, I think. Yeah, Steve Martin. So he did one called Leap of Faith in 1992. That one's kind of crazy. Yeah, it was Steve Martin. Is he one of the top billed in that? Oh, no, he was just one of the more famous people to come out of that movie. But yeah, easily freaking number one slot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm interested to see if we share the same number two.
Two, I'm giving to Pamela Anderson.
Yes, me too.
I did not know she had comedy in her. I mean, I haven't seen a lot with Pamela Anderson in it.
She hasn't been in a lot.
Like, I guess, okay, wait, no, actually, I say I didn't know she had comedy in her. She freaking was in, I swear she was in one of the scary movies.
Scary Movie 3.
Yeah, okay. So, like, yeah, no, she's shown that she can do comedy, but the fact that, like, she actually, like, had, like, a main role here in a comedy movie, and she pulled it off so well. She was so, so good. I loved her. She was fantastic.
Yeah. I'm looking through her IMDb. She's just done, like, little small things here and there. Like, an episode here, four episodes there, and it's more just playing herself.
Interesting.
Yeah. Then she was in our, let's see, 13 episodes of Stripperella. She played herself in Scooby-Doo.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, she was uncredited in that.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, little voices here, little voices there. She did a couple like big movies in 96. Yeah. And then she did Baywatch. So, I mean, she's done quite a bit, but it's just, I don't know. Like, I think it's just in obviously her later years that she started I would almost say the stigma of like the deal or the bullshit that she dealt with in her past has kind of like, I feel like it's almost like been left behind her.
Yeah.
And so now she's able to like do a little bit more, and she's been killing it. Like, she was in The Last Showgirl, which I hear is really, really good. She was in that with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then, so, I mean, it's been a hot minute since she's been in like the major spotlight. And I think she's well deserving of it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like her acting is really, at least in this, was really good. And you could tell that she was having fun. I would love to know just how much of that like jazz scatting thing that she was doing, how much of that was improvised.
Dude, same here, because freaking when she like started like doing like a sad part of it, and then all of a sudden she just goes, "I'm okay." And then just goes back. that was great.
I loved her. Her like, and like with them dating now, like Liam Neeson and Pamela, like
so cool.
The chemistry between them is just like, it is very apparent.
Yeah, it is.
And I love that. Like, I loved like that, how they were able to capture that. So yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
Who's your number three going to?
Three, you know, I know it was a small role, but I freaking loved him in it. I'd got to give it to Paul Walter Hauser. He was great as Ed Hocken Jr. I loved his chemistry with Liam Neeson. Honestly, I would have loved it if they had more scenes together, but you know, I understand why not. And the whole like freaking the whole coffee bit, like how they just kept getting like more coffee, and like you would see just like tables with like just like empty coffee cups, just freaking just that. And like there's that one scene where like they go from like a small to like a freaking grande size. That was just, like you can kind of tell that, like, I don't know about Liam Neeson, but Paul has like a hard time like freaking holding it for a second. He's just like, okay, holy shit, this is big.
That was a great bit for them to do.
That really was.
So much freaking fun. Like, this whole movie was just nothing but fun.
It was. No, absolutely. And then freaking the best bit with him was at the arena, and he's handing out the free beer, and as he's like handing it out, you see him hand it to like a freaking child.
Yeah. That was freaking great. Yeah. He's a close number four for me, but I want to give my number three to Kevin Durant. I again, small role, but he is so freaking funny. And he has such a very like his face, like he can express with his face really well. And so all the scenes with him and like when he was spying and like pulled out the thermal scope and everything and the look on his face, it was just like, oh shit, like what's he and then it cuts to and you're like, oh god. Like his face sold the joke before the joke happened.
Yeah. I love the part when he gets into the car, he's just like, you're not my normal driver. This isn't my normal gas. Just freaking like as everything is going on, he's just like, this isn't my normal such and such.
He is so good, dude. He is so good. He's someone wildly underrated.
No, seriously, freaking dude. Like thinking back to Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, him as I forget what ape he played.
Proximus.
Proximus, thank you. Dude, freaking phenomenal. So freaking good.
Yeah, freaking amazing. But yeah, he has my number three.
That's fair, man. Yeah, he, like you said, small role, but he freaking stole every scene that he was in.
Oh yeah. Where you sit with your acting score?
I would say like, you know, like the extras did pretty good. I really liked Liza, you know, Liza Koshy only had like two lines, but she's also like one of my favorite bits that like, did we get all that? That just, I freaking love that so much.
I love how far they took that.
I know.
Like just when you think it couldn't go any further.
Yeah. What was the bad guy's name again?
Oh shit, I just closed it.
Sorry. Oh wait, I got the breakdown cast on my
Cade.
Too. Cade. Yeah, Danny Huston, he plays a bad guy in every movie he at least we've seen him in. But he does such a good job that like you kind of love him for it.
Yeah,
100%. So like the top like the top actors do great, and I feel like the extras do pretty good here. So I think I'm going to give acting an 85.
I might be a bit higher than you. I think Pamela and Liam, I would probably get like them solo. I'd probably be at like 91.
Okay.
The extras and everything, like there were some that definitely sold their lines and their bits better than others.
Yeah.
But I don't think they bring me down too much. Like I'm probably sitting more like an 88.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Then like we agreed, we're skipping over character development. Then moving on over to effects. There were quite a few, like stunt work wise, there was a pretty decent amount. I don't think there was anything that was too like special effects.
I want to, maybe you can figure it out. I hope I'm not stupid for asking this. But the opening bit with the bank and everything, and you know, like how Liam Neeson pulls off the mask of the little girl and he's just like, I want your ass. Like how did, like I said, I hope I don't sound stupid asking this, but like, how did they pull that off? Do you think?
How do they, well, they probably, I feel like 100% they CGI'd his head.
Yeah. Okay.
But the whole pulling the mask off thing, like that could have all just been CGI. Like all the actress would have had to do is just do the motion. Or so like what I'm thinking is like they had her head, maybe they gave her like maybe a neck thing to, yeah. So she could like pull that off. And then they just like CGI'd the rest of her head because like,
okay,
I'd have to rewatch it just to see at what point. Cause like you could get away with like where she reaches for it.
Yeah.
Goes to pull it. And so she kind of does a wipe over her head. And then it's just like Liam Neeson, as you work your way up and then just like pulling her head. So she's probably just because she's going over her full head. So
yeah.
She could go like this and then it's just you get like a fake mask or whatever.
Yeah.
That's how I'd imagine.
I would too. Like I said,
that's a movie magic right there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but that's how what I'd imagine. So she like again like wiped with her arm like across her face. So this makes more sense if you're watching the video part of this. But she's like wiping over her face, probably pulls off like a fake mask.
Okay.
And then like it's CGI embedded head of Liam Neeson underneath.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I'd imagine. And then that bit was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, that was great. The freaking when he grabs that one guy and is like using him as a shield, but you can clearly tell it's a freaking dummy.
Dude, that was freaking amazing. And then like how he like tossed him in the middle. And then they were like, they all like continued to shoot at it.
Oh, man.
I loved that scene. And I love that when he was fighting people with the cartridges.
Dude, and, that like, was dude, so the, awesome.
The reloading shit. That was amazing. Like, that was the.
I'm trying to remember what song was playing because it was perfection. I gotta look I mean, this will go into music, but like, I just can't remember what.
Wasn't that the Queen song?
It might have been.
Mr. Fahrenheit?
It might have been. Let me pull up the list of songs. Oh, no, it was Fergalicious.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That was freaking great.
Yeah, when that started playing, I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? But I'm just like, this is amazing.
Yeah, that shit was great. I will say this. I don't think the special effects were anything like grand. The stunt work, I will say, was pretty good. And it was quite humorous.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So I think like CGI work, I'd be maybe at like a 73. But with the stunt work and how incredible that was, I'm probably more inclined to be around 77. And I'm just trying to meet in the middle of where I'd be with that. Or actually, I could probably do that math for reals. So I would. So what did I say? 73 for like the special effects.
Yes.
And then for the combat or the practical like choreography, I'd probably be about maybe an 84.
Okay.
And then divide that by 2. Oh, that is not.
It's like, damn, bro.
How do you average that? 73. I forgot how you do an average. Good thing there's a formula for that.
True that.
Average 73 and 84. 78.5.
I mean, that was because I was going to give it a 78, so I'll just stick with mine. So there we go.
I love math.
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, I don't. I fucking hate math.
All right. Next up, we got music. This soundtrack was pretty bitchin'. I don't think it's not quite in the 9 or 10s for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm at an 8 for this. Like, yeah, as much fun as it 8. Was, like, it's nothing like incredible. But I had a blast listening to the songs that came on screen. It was fantastic.
Yeah, the scenes worked well for what they were doing.
Yeah.
Next up, another, I think, fairly average category, costumes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the suits that they wore looked good. Pamela's costumes were good.
I'm inclined to give some bonus points for the snowman.
Ooh, yeah, that's fair.
Because that was a practical snowman. The Jim Henson Company actually did that.
That is awesome. I love that so much.
Yeah, so that was like full puppet.
So like I'm either at I'm either at a 6 or a 7, and I'll go whichever way you go, unless you're at a 5.
I'd probably be leading at like a 6.5, But okay. I don't think I can fully justify a 7.
That's fair. So 6 it is.
Yeah, so I'll go 6. All right, last up, we got personal score. You want to take this one first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was not expecting to enjoy this movie as much as I did. So I first saw this in theaters when it came out in August. Saw it like the second week it was out. Had a really good time. Saw it with my buddy Ryan. And then I was able to watch it on Paramount Plus again before we did this review. So it was nice to get that refresher of the story, laugh at the same jokes, and honestly catch jokes that I missed. So yeah, just it. This was a really good, in a way, it's kind of a little bit of a reboot, I guess, of the franchise a little bit. But
it's like soft reboot.
Yeah, there we go.
Because technically a continuation, but not at the same time.
Yeah. But it got me interested in checking out the others. Liam Neeson, Pamela Anderson, Paul Walter Hauser, all of them are great here. And this movie's just genuinely funny. It's a really, really good comedy. I had a really good time with it. Personal score, I think I'm going to go an 84.
I'm actually a few points higher than you. I'm sitting at 87. I thought this was a pure gem. I love this movie. I thought it was so funny. It's one I'm excited to rewatch. But yeah, I mean, you pretty much covered everything else I was going to say about it. Like it's super funny. Definitely worth a watch. Even if you've never seen the other Naked Guns, like this is not one you need to go into with a previous knowledge.
Yeah, we both of us have not seen any of the others, and we were easily able to follow along.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm sitting at an 87.
Hell yeah.
All right, with that wraps up this week's breakdown, going through these categories. Starting off with story, we are sitting at a 76.5. Writing is our highest category, sitting at a 94.5. The acting is sitting at an 86.5, so a little bit of a dive, but not too bad.
Yeah.
Like we discussed earlier, we did not talk about character development because there was not really any.
Yeah.
Next up, we got effects, which we have sitting at a 78.25. The music is sitting at an 8 out of 10. Costumes are sitting at a 6 out of 10. And our personal score averaged out to an 85.5.
All right.
Yeah. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for The Naked Gun 2025 has come out to a B.
All right. I like it.
I like that a lot. I'm genuinely impressed that I got that high, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was almost worried that it wasn't going to. Yeah, just need to throw that in. All right, let's see where this is sitting. It barely got into our B.
We'll take it.
Yeah, it's sitting so our cutoff for a B is 83%. This is sitting at an 83.03%.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, it was very close to not getting this slot, which is crazy. I actually think that this is... Oh, no, it's not. I was going to say, I thought that it was closer to being at 83% than our top B minus movie, which just going through, it's sitting above The Greatest Showman, which is a B minus movie. Which is sitting at an 82.93%. So it's 0.07 away from being at a B. This is point. Oh, so yeah, it is closer. So, and this is 0.03 away from being a B minus.
That's insane.
Freaking crazy. I love when shit gets that close. Yeah, but like I said, it's sitting above The Greatest Showman. It's above Nosferatu.
Fair.
It is above If.
All right.
It is above the Gran Turismo.
Fair.
And then it is above Scream 6.
All right. Yeah, fair.
Going the opposite direction, it's barely below Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's below Violent Night.
All right.
It's below Argyle.
Okay.
It is below Wish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then finally, it is below The Marvels.
Okay.
And honestly, I think I know where, like, with The Marvels, like, why it is higher. It's because of costumes.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, that's where it's sitting.
I like it.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, want to check out more of our stuff, be sure to follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are basically everywhere. You can also follow and subscribe to us on all social media. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. So you can follow us everywhere. You can also search for us on YouTube. You have to search at the All Bros to find our shit. So be sure to do that. You can also email us if you want to hit us up with episode ideas. We are entering a very, very dry spell.
Yes.
Like very soon. So we are going to need movies to watch. And so we'll be keeping our eyes open for things that are interesting on streaming and all of that, but we are going to need recommendations.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can do that. TheAllBrosChannel@gmail.com. Be sure to check out our website, tinyurl.com/TheAllBros. And yeah, links to everything can be found in our bio. So be sure to go check that stuff out. Next week, we will be breaking down, is it The Long Walk?
Yep.
Yeah, so that'll be what our next episode is. The Long Walk, which Rose has seen, says it's his new favorite movie of the year.
Yep.
So we'll
I'm so freaking excited to talk about it.
So we'll see if that ends up being the case for me too.
I hope it's mutual.
Yeah, but
we'll see.
Yeah. So you guys got that to look forward to next time. Until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb,
and I'm Jonathan.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
See ya!